Good morning. Good morning, and a warm welcome to worship here this morning. For those who don't know me, and I'm looking round about, I'm Alan Grant. I've been here before. It started a long time, 30 years ago. And you haven't changed a bit. I think it's time I visited the optician. Particular welcome is extended to any who have decided to come along, if it's the first time, or you're here visiting in Forth, we're very pleased to see you. And also to those who are joining us online. Together, we are worshipping God as one. The intimations are as printed and have been scrolling through on the screen. There's nothing in particular to be highlighted, but just take note of everything that's there. And this morning we've got a short responsive call to worship and invite everyone to respond in the words shown in bold and marked all. Come, one and all. Come, one and all. Come, one and all. Come, one and all. So as we have gathered this morning, let us, one and all, sing our praise to the God who calls us and invites us to be here. And singing hymn number 198 on the hymn book. Hymn 198, let's build a house where all can dwell. All are welcome. If you're following on the hymn book, we omit verse 3. All are welcome.
Thank you.
house where love can dwell. As we have gathered in this house, this sanctuary, let us pray to the God who invites us, the God who welcomes us here. Let us pray. Loving Lord God, as your people we have joined together in this place, because you've opened your arms in welcome and called us saying, come to me. And as we come, we open our hearts to you in worship. We open our ears to hear your word for us. We open our whole selves to you. We join with all your people everywhere, the flock of your pasture, and we worship you with heart and mind and soul. You are our Saviour and King, our Master and Friend, our Shepherd and Guide. While we come to this place as one people, we are all different from one another. You come from different homes, have different life experiences, different concerns and different hopes and dreams. But we come united in faith, united in the fellowship of the church, united in acknowledging that you are our God and proclaiming your love, your care and compassion. Gracious God, while you love us without limit, you know only too well that sometimes the path in life we choose does not always lead us into quiet, calm waters of caring and compassion for others. We can wander from you, and our journey takes us off the beaten track and into the harsh terrain of selfishness and anger. Our progress often slowed by fear and anxiety. So forgive us when, like lost sheep, we have turned away from you and gone our own way. Forgive us when we have sung with our lips what we have not had the courage to practice in our lives. And as we ask for your forgiveness, enable us to be forgiving. Take from our lives the hidden grudges and concealed hate. Take from us every proud or arrogant thought. Fill us with love and care for others. Remind us of your promise that with you we find forgiveness. We thank you that we are yours, that you have called us by name, that through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, you have redeemed us. We thank you, Lord, that you bless us anew each day with your grace and goodness. Take us from here, refreshed in our journey with you and with one another, that we might love you more and follow you more closely. All this we pray in your Son's name, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Well, for the younger folks, and indeed for everybody, I like to bring something. Is anyone good at making things? What are you good at making? Well, what we're going to do just now, you've just made me feel quite inadequate. Well done. MDL's good at making things. My wife says I'm very good at making things. Mostly a mess, yes. Mostly a mess, but I try. If I had to say, here's a bag of Lego, and we're going to build something, we're going to build a church, what would you need to build a church? Well, you need a piece of ground to start with, wouldn't you? Aye. Walls. We've got bricks for the walls, too many of them. But we need a door to come in. We need windows to the light to come in. So what I'm going to do with Lego, and we're going to build a church. So this may take a wee while, but I have got one with me. Now, I'm going to move that, and I've put that in the box upside down. And you haven't even seen it yet. To protect it, because if this falls apart, right? Now, I didn't make this. It was made for me. This church here, oh my, it's got a door to come in. It's got windows to see out and let sunlight in. It's even got two trees at the door. And it's got a steeple. Very welcoming, isn't it?
Yes.
And if there's air to come in, whoa, there's never any problem with air coming into churches. You're right. So that's, we'll pretend. We'll just pretend that's a clock. Right. And the time is, doesn't matter the time.
11 o'clock.
It's 11 o'clock it started. So that, we'll get walls, we have got a roof to keep the rain off, we've got doors for people to come in. So when you come in this morning, what else have we got to put inside a church? Heating, that's right. Oh, seats. Yes, we need seats. We need music. So it's an organ there, it's a piano, it's a keyboard, it's whatever. We've got hymn books, or we've got a projector. We've got Margaret working the sound system. She's doing a grand job, and I haven't broken it yet. We have got, what else do we need? Well, I'm going to show you inside this church. Because this church, the roof opens. Oh dear, opened too much. No, no, it's not going to be taken off. It's got to. Yes, it's the open. Now, if you look inside this church, you see what's in it. See what's in it?
Oh. There's nothing in it.
There's nothing in it. It's empty.
I would not come to that.
You would not come to that church. No, it's empty. But look around. Look around you. It's missing the people. It's missing people. Because that's just a building. An empty shell. But when people come in, that's what makes it the church. You know, the very first church, way away at the beginning, didn't have all the things we've got. Jesus said, where two or three come together, only a few people or a lot of people, that's the church. So when we come into this building, that's what makes the church alive. Because people talk to each other. We sing together. It might be telling some news of the families. It might be saying, how are you keeping? How's so-and-so getting on? We're interested in people. We worship God. So lots happen in our church. And that's why it's important that we come together, because we share worship together. We share our lives with each other in the church. This is just a shell. You make this building come alive. That's church. You're the church. I'm the church. Together we make the church. And that is what we're going to sing just now. It is. It's him. I've got to check my sheet, because you're all 204. I am the church. Now there's actions to this. Does everybody know the action? Because I don't. Do you? Would anybody want to do the actions? Right. If you want to do the actions, would you help us doing the bits we do? Right. Do you want to come at the front so everybody can see you? If you don't, just stand where you are. Because I'm not good at these things.
I'll show you.
Right. We're good. Audrey.
Play music.
We need the music. Right. For leading us in that. I'm not good at these things, but you guys were excellent. you're all awake now. We're going to turn to the Word of God, which Miriam shall share with us this morning.
The first reading today comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, the Good Shepherd and his sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Second reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Miriam. Well, as Miriam read to us from the Acts of the Apostles, we were given a snapshot of life in the early New Testament church. It's a picture of how a group of believers, of how the church should be, and of what life was like for those first Christians. That new church was buzzing with life. Everyone was energized with God's Spirit, and it showed in everything they did. We're reminded of that in the words of our next praise as we sing hymn number 616, There's a Spirit in the Air. It's hymn 616.
Thank you.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Over Easter time, we have followed Jesus to the darkness of the cross, the glory of the resurrection, and his appearance to his disciples and his friends. But this morning, we've gone back in time. We've gone back to a time just before the events of Easter. And why do we do that? We go back to revisit Jesus' words about the consequences of his resurrection before the event. Because the resurrection brings to life everything he said earlier. And here Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd, we are the flock. Now the illustration of the shepherd and his flock, that's a common feature in Scripture, isn't it? Perhaps the most famous is the Old Testament. It's the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We all know that off by heart. It's the Old Testament. And here, in the New Testament, we are presented with Jesus the Son as the good shepherd. He's the shepherd who will risk his life to seek out and save the one straying sheep. A common image that's been created over the years is that of the shepherd leaning on his crook, standing on a fence, looking out in a flock of contented sheep, their snow-white fleeces contrasted against the lush green grass on which they're happily grazing. For Jesus listeners, that was a scene that was bore little resemblance to reality. And for us, to be compared to a sheep, it's not exactly a compliment, is it? They are not the brightest animals in the farm. They're unpredictable. They tend to wander wherever the grass seems greener. As a motorist and former cyclist, I used to dread coming among sheep grazing at the side of the road. You never knew what they were going to do. They usually wait until I arrive and then run in front of you. But I was told, watch. And as they're eating, if their ears are down, they're concentrating on eating, they're not bothering with anybody else. If their ears are up, they could run across you any time. Well, I've seen them with ears up, ears down. I'm sure one ear up and one ear down, and they still wander in front of me. Sheep wander. And they're easily frightened. And somehow, they are able to find their way out of a fenced field, but totally unable to get back in again. I told a story by a long-retired shepherd. Apparently, at school, the children would be taught about subtraction. And they were asked, as an example, if you have 20 sheep in a field and two get out through a hole in the fence, how many are left in the field? The shepherd boy immediately stuck up his hand. He says, please, miss, none. Annoyed, the teacher said, no, the correct answer is 18. You don't know about subtraction. The wee boy replied, but please, miss, you don't know about sheep. See, that's what they do. But whether we like it or not, be compared to a sheep, some of our characteristics, some of our behaviour, it's not much better. Because we can be unpredictable and unreliable. We can be easily upset and thrown off course. At times we get confused. Sheep are woolly on the outside, but we can be woolly on the inside. Like sheep, we too are liable to wander without thinking. And sometimes we wander from God. And as sheep need a shepherd, so do we. We need someone who will lead us to safety. The image of the shepherd that Jesus gave is one that would have been readily understood by his listeners. That of the shepherd going ahead and leading the flock from the front. The sheep followed because they know the voice of their shepherd. And from experience, he will stay with them and not abandon them. At the end of the day, in Jesus' time, shepherds would gather their flocks together. So several shepherds would gather their flocks together, lead them into a large communal pen that was under the care of a watchman. And then come the morning, each shepherd would go up and call to his sheep. The sheep recognizing his voice, they would come out. They wouldn't come out to anyone else's voices, only the shepherd they knew. If they were out overnight in some remote place, the sheep would be gathered into a makeshift pen. And without any door, the shepherd would lie across the opening. They would literally become the door. The shepherd would be the gate. The shepherd was their guide, their provider, and their protector. And as for the message of thieves and robbers, which Jesus warned, they were those who would distort God's message, who taught a religion without relationship. Follow the law, the religious law, all would be well. Christ the Son came in order that we could have a relationship with God the Father through him. Because he is the gate. He is the door. He is the way to God. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. See, until Jesus came, people could only think of God as something between a stranger and someone to be feared. Jesus came to show us what God was like, to open the way to him. In Christ there is security. In him there is life. I have come, he said, in order that you may have life and have it to the full. And it's a relationship that starts personally. Christ and the individual, and then it develops into community. Christ and his church. That is the family of God. Then in the verses that Miriam read to us from the Acts of the Apostles, we get a taste of what life was like, of the experiences of the people in that first church. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, because these people had a new way of living. They were alive in Christ, and he was alive in them. This group of people, this church, was truly a living body, and it was growing. How did that development take place? Well, we see they spent their time learning from the apostles, who shared all they had been taught by Jesus during their time with him. We see that they joined in fellowship. They shared in meals and prayers. One of the great dangers faced by the church as a body and us as individuals is to look back and comfort ourselves with the way things used to be. But we know we cannot stay in the past. We have to look and to move forward, to grow. And for us to grow, we have to work at it. Those early believers had the apostles' experience of Jesus to help them grow and feed their infant faith. That was then. Well, in Scripture, we too can share in those same experiences and more. All we have to do is open and read. It was a church where fellowship was real and not just a word. It was social fellowship as well as spiritual fellowship. They shared worship together in the temple. They shared food together in their homes. It was a true church community. And it wasn't easy for the first century church because times were tough. As a minority, persecution and ridicule were constant threats. But those people were always there for each other, giving both prayerful support and offering practical help and encouragement. For us, during the times that when we are living with trials, with heartache, the burdens of life, we too can be strengthened and encouraged by fellow believers. Question does beg to be asked, are we always there for each other? Or sometimes are we perhaps a little preoccupied with our own concerns? Are we even aware? Are we even aware of the difficulties our neighbour may be going through, or how the person in the next pew is right now? Often, the simplest things that can make is those are the ones that can make the biggest differences. It's a kind word. It's a listening ear. Just spending time with someone. If we can do anything we can to help, we should do it. We should offer it. We should offer our help. I read some time ago a lovely story about reaching out to help someone. It's a wee girl. She had broken her arm. It was in plaster from her wrist to her shoulder. She was in Sunday school and the teacher was explaining that church is made up of people. She then showed the children actions to the rhyme. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and there's the people. You know that one, right? So, the teacher's encouraging the children to see the rhyme. Here's the church. There's the steeple. Open the door. Here's the people. And the others, they were doing it. Except this wee girl. And she couldn't because her arm was plastered. She started to cry. Then the wee boy sitting beside her, he saw her crying and he put his hand against her good hand and together they did the actions of saying the rhyme. Now I think they must have got into a fankle when it came to open the door and there's the people, but it didn't matter. It was a great example of church. Two children helping to demonstrate church. One helped the other. It was a church where everyone helped each other because they were part of the same family. And we see the first church, worship was a priority. Coming together, and no doubt they would have their personal devotions, but they always joined each other to worship. That was the family of God coming together. It was a praying church. They knew they could not meet life with all its difficulties until they had first met with God. It was a church where things happened, and every day the church grew. See, we expect great things from God. If we have the faith and the courage to attempt great things for God, things happen. If we sit on our hands and think about great things but do nothing, nothing happens. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. From time to time, we may lose direction in life. We might lose sight of God. Jesus, as a shepherd, calls us by name back to him to renew a broken relationship with God and to start again. He calls us back to the flock, to the community that is the church, the body of Christ. And if it's a body, it's to grow, it must be fed. Our feeding comes through learning, through the reading, the listening, the thinking, and the study of God's Word. It comes through fellowship and friendship. It comes through prayer. These are the ingredients that saw the first church blossom. It can be the same for us today. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the shepherd." It's a gate that stands open for us. We only have to go through. Amen. Let's pray. God of peace, who brought back from dead, who brought from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an eternal covenant, make us perfect in goodness so that we may do your will and create in us what is pleasing to you. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just as the sheep depended on the shepherd and trust to keep them safe, so we too can depend and can trust God with our life. We're going to sing hymn 462. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Hymn 462. We make our response to God's word in our offering. Our offerings will be uplifted. The King of love, my shepherd is. The Lord is our shepherd. So let's dedicate our offerings to our shepherd. Let's pray. Gracious and caring Lord, we give thanks that you are our God and are blessed knowing that we are the people of your pasture. Amidst the noise and turmoil of life, you reach out to us and offer to lead us beside the still waters. As a loving shepherd and safe in your presence, may we find refreshment and our hearts may be at rest. And here at this table, we dedicate to you ourselves. We dedicate these gifts because we know that our life rightfully belongs to you. Everything we have, we hold in trust from you. It is with heartfelt gratitude we praise you for all you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Help us in turn to make our own offering complete by living and working and trusting and loving obedience to you. The same Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We now invite Jean to lead us in our prayers for others.
This prayer is taken from the Church of Scotland's worship resources and was written by the Reverend Bill Taylor, a retired minister and a chaplain for the Presbytery of Edinburgh and West Lothian. There is a response. When I say, God of grace, you respond with, graciously hear us. Let us pray. Praise be to you. In love you have sought and found us and brought us home rejoicing. Lord Jesus, present us by your Holy Spirit. You go before us in the adventure of faith. Thank you that you have given gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. We pray for one another. As you call us to minister in Jesus' name, where we are, grant that in our life together, all may find the Good Shepherd's care. God of grace, graciously hear us. Risen Lord Jesus, whose perfect love chases away fear, we pray for all who are challenged by life. Especially we remember people who are oppressed in our world by war or injustice. Those who suffer because of their faith or beliefs. People trapped in poverty, hungry, or homeless. We pray for the hurt and the brokenhearted. People who are unwell in body or in mind, at home or in hospital. We pray for people in prison and for those who are the victims of crime. In this quiet moment, we offer prayers for any for whom we came to pray today. Lord Jesus, you are the true shepherd who desires only what is good for your flock. The lamp from your staff gives light for all to see. Your compassion sets us free and binds up our wounds. God of grace, graciously hear us. Risen Jesus, hopefully, confidently, because already it has begun in you, we look to the day when the new earth and heaven will be complete. And there will be no more dying or crying or pain. Creation itself will be set free from decay. Until then, let us be found faithful, seeking peace, building bridges, working for justice to the glory of your holy name. God of grace, graciously hear us. Now, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us, which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. And then later, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Words which are echoed in the hymn we now sing. It's hymn 512. To God be the glory. He gave us his Son and opened the life gate that all may go in. We close our worship in singing hymn 512. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. And now, as we get out to the world, secure in God's love, kept safe in the careful watch of Christ the Good Shepherd, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among each one of us and remain with us, now and forevermore.